Hi, guys. Happy Monday. Welcome back to the Wellness Wake Up. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello from your living room.
Yeah. We are currently together, but apart. We cannot figure out how to record nicely together. So we are sitting in separate rooms, but
we make it work.
We are making it work.
How's your week going?
It has been a good week. Should we start with our magic moments?
I would love that. Yeah. Okay. I have one bursting.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Yesterday was a big birthday for my mom and we had a huge surprise party for her. And it was so special. We had her take the, I'm in New York City. We had her take the ferry over to Williamsburg. And then we had people all along the walk to the restaurant, or like a 20-minute walk scattered throughout. And so there was people with balloons waiting to surprise her on like every block for 20 minutes worth of walking. And it was just the best.
That's so special.
And we love her so much. So really happy to celebrate
my like
mama.
A ray of sunshine like her.
She is. She really is.
That is so special.
What's your magic moment?
I have two magic moments. Is that allowed this week?
Yes, absolutely.
So Saturday was mine and Elliot's anniversary, and we went to the Hamptons for one night, and it was just like a lovely day being out of the city, and I like was not on my phone very much, and it was very relaxing. So that was one magic moment.
Happy
and then
anniversary.
Thank you. This morning is my second magic moment. We are never actually in person together doing something. So Carolyn came over at 8:30 a.m. because we both are up early always. And it was so nice.
It was so nice. And let me tell you guys, Marissa has like 18 things in my glass of water right now. I have polyphenol, like red powder with prebiotics. We've already gone through some gut healing protocols. It is the best. It is very special to be in person.
Yes. We were each other's own practitioners this morning, and sometimes you need that. So it was lovely. Carolyn looked through all of my labs with me, my own GI map. We went through a few things. So thank you.
I love doing that. And it's so important to have someone to go through it with and not go through it on your own. So if you are listening and tend to just get your own data points and then go down a Google rabbit hole or decide all these things are wrong with you, outsource.
Yep. Call us. We could both help you.
We can definitely help you. So today's topic is super important and a big one, and one we've been asked about, I think, several times for years. I would say it's been really popular for at least 5 years now, and that is intermittent fasting. And so many diets focus on what you eat, but intermittent fasting is really all about when you're eating. And so with intermittent fasting, you only eat during a specific time, and we will talk through a couple different ways of doing intermittent fasting today. Just first, to kick things off, like some of the benefits that are reported or that we see on Instagram and in research as well, that intermittent fasting can support is really around insulin levels. During intermittent fasting, it can facilitate fat burning, also a lot of cortisol and human growth hormone level increasing improvements there, also cellular repair. Intermittent fasting may reduce insulin resistance, oxidative stress, can cause potential weight loss, reduce inflammation. So there's a lot of maybe good stuff for some people, and we're going to get into that today. And then there's a lot of stuff and a lot of people who this isn't for.
Yeah, definitely. And remember that those are the claimed benefits that we see on social media, and we will actually break down some of the research and what we actually see in practice to answer, is this right for you? Mm-hmm. So let's just zoom out for a second and think about, where does this actually come from? And I always like to have this conversation with clients to actually go back to our ancestors and think about how in prehistoric times, before humans actually learned to farm, they were hunter-gatherers who evolved to actually survive and thrive for long periods of time without eating. And that's just because they had to. It took a lot of time and energy to hunt and gather the nuts and berries that our ancestors actually lived off of. We also see fasting as an ancient ritual. If you look at different religions, fasting is done for different reasons. In Muslims, people fast during Ramadan. In Buddhism, there's a lot of different fasting rituals. In Christianity, there's Lent. So in a lot of different cultures and religions, we're seeing that people were fasting for many, many years. It's only in the most recent 200 years where humans have actually had access and supplies to vast amounts of food and resources, which now we live in this world of excess, but our biology hasn't really changed to catch up with it, which has caused a shift in disease patterns, particularly leading us to more metabolic syndrome and weight gain and things like that over the course of the last 200 years. And the idea that reducing calorie intake can result in evolutionary cellular responses for survival has been this active topic in research, which is kind of where this interest in intermittent fasting comes from. So to understand this, it's important to understand what seems to work about the intermittent fasting process, if it does work for certain people, is this process of, I'm going to butcher autophagy. This word, autophagy. We literally looked it up to say how you say it. Autophagy, which is basically your cells break down and destroys old damage or abnormal proteins and other substances in the cytoplasm, which is just that fluid inside the cell to bring you back to biology. The breakdown products are then recycled for important functions, especially during periods of stress or starvation. Mm-hmm. So basically, the thought is that creating periods of starvation, which is fasting, actually induces this process, which helps recycle and basically clear out our cells.
Yeah, it's like a little detoxification process, if you want to think of it that way, which is really interesting. And so are there some potential benefits? For sure. And is it for everybody? Definitely not. And so first, before we get into who it's for and who it's not for, there are a lot of different types of intermittent fasting that we see popularized right now. And so just to take you through a few examples of what you might hear about out there, basically intermittent fasting, when you're fasting, you're having only water or zero calorie beverages. And as you hopefully know from listening to Marissa and me here, we are not a fan of artificial sweetened beverages. So this would really take you down to water, black coffee, and tea. The most popular type of intermittent fasting is the 16-hour fast. The 16-8 method is where individuals fast for 16 hours a day. So they might stop eating at 8 p.m. and then fast until noon the next day. Then there is something called the 5-2 diet, where you fast for 2 days a week. And so on those 2 days a week, you would only eat around 500 to 600 calories. And then on the other 5 days, you would eat pretty normally. That one is a little bit different. And then there's another one called alternative day fasting, where you fast fully for 1 day. So you really would only drink water for 1 day, and then you eat normally the other day. So you'd only be restricting on half of the days of the week. And so on fasting days, you're allowed to drink as many calorie-free beverages as you like, but it's really putting your body into a state of full restriction.
This is making me hungry just as we think about it. I don't know how some people do this stuff.
Well, yeah, there's a really fine line between an eating disorder and fasting. The next type, which actually I'm much more curious about, and I think that there could be some potential benefits to, is this concept. It's in the book called Fast Like a Girl, and it's all about fasting in regards to your cycle. And so basically you would do a 13-hour fast on days 1 through 4. So on the days that you have your period, and then it would basically change in every different phase of your cycle. If you're curious about this, feel free to check out Fast Like a Girl. There's a great podcast that this woman has as well. She's a doctor. And the most important thing is, like, you're not fasting all month long all the same. We know women's bodies have this infradian rhythm that really changes based on what phase of our cycle we're in. Our appetites are going to change. Our energy levels are going to change. Our ability to focus and be creative is going to change. So the important part of this is you're not actually fasting during the phase right before you get your period. And so that's really important, because that's often when women are the most hungry too. So it's like, you shouldn't be eating every single day exactly the same way. And I think that that makes me much more curious about this versus just saying, okay, day in, day out, you're going to do a 16-hour fast.
Totally. And I love that that approach to fasting actually acknowledges that our body needs different things on different days, especially as women, as our hormones cycle. And that's where you feel different amounts of hunger on those different days. And we are so big into leaning in and listening to that. And I think, well, we're going to get into our problems in a second. But one big problem with these hard fasting rules is that it doesn't always allow that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree with that. Last but not least, a different type of fasting that I'm seeing popularized a lot, especially more in the spiritual community, would be water fasting, where you only drink water from anywhere from 24 hours to 3-5 days. Generally, I see this done for medical issues. Although, yeah, it is getting more popular, I think, when people are doing all sorts of plant medicine and things like that. So this specifically, I've seen work for something like Lyme disease, or a lot of people trying it out for that. But this is one that you would really want to do more in a medical setting and with some real, real support and not on your own.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's dig into the research a little bit. What do you think, Carolyn? Do you think this is actually helpful? Do you think there's certain populations who this is actually for? Let's actually start with the populations where we could see some benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of research is done on women with PCOS, postmenopausal women, and men. And so those would be some of the categories of people that I think that this could be potentially beneficial for, you know, like we talked about in the beginning, Benefits of intermittent fasting can include improved insulin sensitivity, improved cognitive function, new cell growth, and even improved weight loss and reduced body fat. That being said, there's a lot of contradictory research too. And so on the one hand, we see improved insulin sensitivity. That seems to be true for a lot of men and for some women. But then in a big study done by Obesity Research, it found that intermittent fasting improved insulin sensitivity in men, but it actually worsened it in women. Mm. And so going long periods of time without food for women can really, really mess up hormones, can mess up reproduction, reproductive systems, and digestion, and actually cause weight gain. This is like one of those things where, as always, is so hyper individualized, and what works for even a family member might not work for you. A really important study on intermittent fasting done in 2013 found that females who did strict intermittent fasting stopped ovulating. And so there can really be this huge cascade of hormonal imbalances, cortisol issues, thyroid issues from doing too strict intermittent fasting. And what we do see, I can say anecdotally, is women who do strict intermittent fasting and then try to get pregnant can have issues, and our bodies don't respond really well once they're trying to get pregnant. So really interesting stuff there.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to note, when this really gained popularity, the studies that were being popularized and promoted everywhere were only done on men. Mm. So this really grew in this research area where all of the studies were done on men. And you cannot apply the same thing to a woman's body. It's kind of the same way where we can't apply a rat study directly to humans. Men and women are very different in our hormonal. Women have this cycle that really makes things different. When we think about categories, a lot of women, especially ones that are still getting their period, this is not appropriate for. We do see sometimes it can be helpful in some women postmenopausal. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is one of the groups of people, you know, there's not these hormone changes happening throughout the month. And so it actually mimics a little bit more of a man's cycle. Obviously, there's still a lot of differences between a postmenopausal woman and a man. And yet it might be beneficial for someone who feels like they're stuck with weight loss, stuck with excess belly fat, and some of the things that can change postmenopausal. And so that's definitely a group of women that I personally see it work fairly well for, but we're going to talk more about the how in a bit too, of what we actually recommend you doing, and not just say go 16-8, you know, not stopping eating at 8 p.m. and starting eating at noon. That's not what we mean. But last but not least is for men too, can definitely be beneficial. Like Marissa mentioned, a lot of the research and majority of research is done on men because they're easier to study. And so for men, for sure, it can lead to weight loss, improvements in blood sugar, lower cholesterol, reduction in oxidative stress and inflammation. I could just throw a little anecdote in here too, a little personal story. I dated someone for a while who, when we were got together, was doing intermittent fasting, and we couldn't go out to dinner. And I remember, like, dinner is so important to me. It was like a really big, it was like our first fight. But I'm like, I need you to stop intermittent fasting or intermittent fast differently so that you fast during the morning so that we could go out to dinner at night.
That's amazing. So, that would be a hard skip for me.
Yeah. It really ends up impacting your social life too. So that's not nothing in this too. It's like, it's funny to remember that, but actually it was like, huh, that like pings me wrong because it's something I want to be able to do with a partner.
I also use intermittent fasting sometimes when I'm working with clients with digestive disorders, specifically SIBO, and when they're going through treatment, if they're on antibiotic treatment or any sort of antimicrobial herbals that I might be giving them. Actually, having a break in digestion can really help. And if you're not familiar with what SIBO is, it's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, basically where you have the bacteria that's supposed to live in our colon migrates to the small intestine and can create a lot of digestive issues, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, and some. I actually use it sometimes in that while we're healing them. Mm-hmm. What that does is that actually taking a break from food can help stimulate something called the migrating motor complex, which is basically something that you could think about as like a sweep that goes through your digestive system and helps clear everything out and helps make sure that food is not getting stuck in the small intestine, fermenting and creating more overgrowth there. Mm-hmm. So it can be helpful for digestive disorders. But again, if it's stressful, it's not our thing.
It leads to an interesting point too, of like grazing all day and eating all day is the opposite of intermittent fasting, is also really not great for us too. That eating all day long can be really problematic. Even if you don't have SIBO too, our bodies do need some digestive rest, and that's, digestion takes up a ton of energy. So making sure that you are giving your body some rest between meals, I wouldn't call it fasting, but just like stopping eating for a little bit of time is important too.
100%. So who is this not for, even though we've kind of said this the entire time? It's not for most women. It is not for people who are still getting their period. It can mess with our hormones. It is not actually that beneficial for us. It's also not for anyone with a history of eating disorders. If you guys have listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I work with a lot of eating disorders and disordered eating, and this is absolutely not appropriate for anyone struggling with any of this stuff. Unnecessary restriction cannot be helpful. We also mentioned some of the negative effects of intermittent fasting, and specifically in women, but we saw sometimes that fasting may lead to an increase in the stress hormone cortisol, which may lead to even more food cravings. I see it where people skip breakfast and then they're starving by lunch and they're eating lunch so quickly, they're more likely to get something maybe less nutritious for lunch because their hunger has gone too far. I'm never a fan of ignoring hunger. I think like our bodies are telling us something. Mm-hmm. And from the standpoint I practice, which is mindful eating, relearning to listen to those cues is the most important mm-hmm. thing in the world. And that's your key to like long-term sustainability with your weight and health. And intermittent fasting actually causes some people to just totally ignore that. And I feel like it can be really negative with leading people to binge later on.
Do you find that also like some people lose that altogether when they've intermittent fasted for too long?
Totally. Like
your body no longer produces those signals.
Lose that, right? Like I always talk about how if you've ever watched a toddler eat, one day they take like one bite of a sandwich and the next day they need like three sandwiches and they're mm-hmm. still hungry. You were born with these internal cues, but we all lose them along the way. Like we mm-hmm. all get used to like eating for the clock versus for our hunger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the work I do is like relearning, and I know you do this too, like helping people listen to those cues again. Mm-hmm. And if intermittent fasting is throwing you off those cues, any of the potential benefits go away mm-hmm. for me.
This reminds me of something else we've talked about a ton on here too, which is external versus internal wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. And intermittent fasting is pure external wisdom. It's saying with the clock, mm-hmm. only pay attention to that. So it is lunchtime when the clock hits noon or whatever mm-hmm. it is versus, hey, I'm actually extra hungry today for whatever reason. I worked out extra, it's a different time in my cycle, anything like that. And so we're trying to merge those two worlds for most of our clients. And some we're just trying to purely listen to that internal wisdom if there's been too much external wisdom from diet culture, social media, anything like that. So diet culture obviously is not wisdom, using that term loosely, but just something to keep in mind too of can we take a little bit of both? The research Definitely. And also actually listening to our bodies.
In general, there's ways to take little pieces of this and maybe apply it to you. And we both believe for the most part, 12-hour eating window, which means like usually eating with the sun and stopping with the moon. So if you're going to intermittent fast in any way, we don't recommend just totally skipping breakfast and eating late at night. We actually recommend maybe cut down your dinner, make it a little bit earlier, give your body like those 3 hours before you get in bed to actually rest and digest. And that actually can promote better sleep. General rule of thumb is like a 12-hour eating window, which means, you know, if you eat breakfast at 8:30, try to close the kitchen by 8:30 p.m. And obviously some days this is easier than others, right? If you have a late dinner one night, you don't need to like hold off on your breakfast until later that day. But that's kind of the way I usually think about it. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think of trying to quote unquote close the kitchen, stop eating 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. And so you can reverse engineer your day based on that clock if you're trying to do this 12-hour window Marissa mentioned, which I absolutely think is, I think that's 12-hour rule for most people is a good rule of thumb too. I think if you're eating for 14, 16, 18 hours in the day, you're eating from the entire time you're awake, that you might end up overeating through the day. So I think that there can be something great to sticking with that. But just really being honest with yourself too, is this hiding disordered eating? You know, is fasting really can be restricting, reframed, can definitely be starvation too. And in terms of the negative side effects too, going too long without eating could actually encourage your body to store more fat in response to starvation. So it can work against, if you're doing this for weight loss purposes, it can end up working against that. I would say a big thing I see women come in who think they're doing everything right is they're eating too little. Even if weight loss is a goal, often we're working on adding things in and making sure they're getting enough good fat in their diet to support their metabolism. So that's just a really important part of this too, is less is not better. And less hours are not better. Less food is not better. Our bodies require nourishment and replenishment in order to thrive. And so working with someone, if you're considering this, and this is obviously something you can very easily try out on your own, but also, again, being honest with yourself about, is this actually working or am I just sticking to a clock?
And with that, the question always becomes like, what's the why behind this? Why are you trying this? Are you recognizing that, okay, I'm normally eating 18 hours in a day and I want to be a little bit more mindful, or I'm eating really late at night and it's affecting my sleep, or are you just doing it because it was something you heard to try? And to be honest, when we look deeper into a lot of the research, it kind of equals caloric restriction. Fasting doesn't give you any more so improved benefits than a typical calorically reduced diet. A lot of people see benefits because they end up just cutting out like other areas of their day where they would be eating junk because it cuts down their eating window. And we always say this, but wellness should not be stressful. If wellness feels stressful, it's not wellness. I was working with a client recently who does have SIBO, and I recommended a little bit of intermittent fasting. And she was getting really stressed as we went through it. And I was like, this is not the goal. Let's zoom back for a second. Let's think about, is there any way that I can eat in a little bit more of a condensed window without it feeling crazy? If there's a night when you have a late work dinner or a friend's birthday, let's not even think about it. You don't need to skip breakfast if you're hungry that morning. Taking the stress out of this is always the goal. And this is one of those things that there's so much buzz on, but when you really dig into the research, it's really not appropriate for that many people.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'd love to add on that too is like, if you're drinking alcohol, you are not intermittent fasting. If it's late at night and you're having an extra glass of wine, that is cutting into that window. You don't want to intermittent fast, but just think alcohol is like separate from it, or not be eating because you're in that closed window, but then having alcohol too. So just something to keep in mind too, of damaging ways we see intermittent fasting done.
100%. Well, we could probably talk about this for hours, like everything else, but we promise you short and sweet little bits of information. So that is all we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah. We hope you have a beautiful week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.